You're listening to DC Domination on the NovaStream Network, your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.
We're back for DC Domination episode 10.
That's how you started, I guess.
Yeah, I just...
That is a really weird song. Yeah, welcome to DC Domination.
Kind of just cut halfway through our casual conversation because I thought if we discuss an intro any longer, we're not going to have an intro. We're just not going to start. That was my thinking.
So you know what it should... It could start with... There's only one comics universe you need to pay attention to, and that's the DC Comics universe, because we dominate. I got nothing. Dylan?
We are the dominators!
Ah, I got nothing.
Domination!
DC!
Yeah,
DC.
We put the D in DC.
I feel like we'll make a great a cappella group.
I think we would do all right.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be fantastic. And Alistair could be our conductor.
No, I think he would be the sweet baritone. Like, you look at him and you're like, there's no way that you can do it. And he's like, oh, oh, oh. I'm like, holy crap, Alistair.
Yeah.
Got them skills.
Sweet bass. All about that bass. About that bass.
All alpha.
All alpha. Australia Day is tomorrow, guys.
It is.
Do you guys have plans?
Not even a little bit.
No.
So for those that don't know, Dylan has come to reside in Planet Betson. He shares my house with me now.
And I want to eat that chocolate there, but I haven't asked yet. Can I please have that chocolate?
Which one do you want?
The picnic.
Oh, dude, I picnics suck. You can go nuts. Oh,
I love picnics.
What about the boost?
So you can have the boost. The Turkish Delight you can have without even asking, because Turkish Delight is literal bum.
Turkish Delight, delicious.
So he's joined the house, so hence we're sitting across the room from one another. We're sitting on my lovely couch.
Looking into each other's eyes lovingly.
Staring lovingly while he puts his mouth over a picnic. So this is what true friend... And for some reason, there's a crunchy wrapper stuck to a cord. And it won't seem to go away.
It's a bit crunchy.
Sweet injustice.
Wait, where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, so we're going to hang out around the house and probably do some wedding invite stuff.
Barbecue and...
Day drunk.
Flag waving.
Yeah.
Flag waving. Straya!
Straya. Be throwing cans over fences. And just being...
Mowing lawns. Yeah. Wearing footy shorts. Cricket. Unfortunately.
It's lovely, like,
oh,
the
cricket's on, isn't it?
What the hell is so Australian about mowing lawns?
It just feels like, yeah, Australia Day. Australian, yeah. Mowing lawns.
You know, it was really, like, what was really Australian was Captain Boomerang coming out of that Australia Post bag in the Suicide Squad. And he was wearing...
Oh my god, really? was that an Australia Post bag?
It was an Australia Post bag. And he was wearing a wife beater singlet. I mean, like, I hate the name of those singlets. It's just horrible. But the singlets are Australian.
The best thing... I had no idea. I loved that scene in particular because they cut open the bag. It's like, first thing he does is punch dude. He's like, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to punch people.
Yeah.
And later on, you see him sneaking a beer. I'm like, okay, Jai Courtney, you might be really good in this movie.
Yeah, you might be secretly Australian. Is he Australian?
He's Australian.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, like, you suck dong in Die Hard 5, but you might be okay in this.
He's good in his Australian movies. Felony in The Water Diviner.
Oh, I remember The Water Diviner.
He's really good in that. Like, any American movies. No offense, but...
Well, that's actually just a taste for later on in the show, where we'll start talking about Suicide Squad, because that trailer was epic.
Wasn't it?
It was amazing. But Supergirl episode 10 was pretty epic itself. I mean, in my opinion, I thought it was pretty amazing. Wow, epic.
This is where I am. Switch up my microphone because I
just kind of fade.
What episode are we covering now?
Actually, we'll be covering episode 9 and 10 Supergirl up to date. But we'll probably rush through episode 9 because it wasn't really that big of an impact, I reckon.
Cool. I'll let you guys have some fun. I'll come in and probably say inappropriate things.
Well, episode 9, Blood Bonds. leaps off from where the mid-season finale finished, and Supergirl and Nod are battling it out and fighting each other, going through the roof and stuff. But when the dust settles, Nod actually kidnaps Henshaw and retreats. With the DEA leaderless, General Lane comes in and...
Dylan, do you need a hand opening that picnic? You seem to have a bit of trouble.
No, I'm just holding the microphone away from the packet so it's not this. So, oh. I'm alright.
My apologies,
now I'm jealous. Oh, that's fine. I love the sound of picnics. It doesn't sound like natural picnics, you know, like normal birds and stuff. I love the sound of specific picnic wrappers being opened. You know, I can pick it. Anyway, General Lane comes back onto the scene and he takes over the mission to bring Henshaw home. Maxwell Lord tries to cover up the whole battle that happened at his building, but James and Wynn see right through it and they go on a mission to see what might be hidden, what else might be hidden in this wonderful Lord technologies. Finally, Kara has to prove that she's not Supergirl to Cat Grant, or Kara's going to lose her job.
So, oh my god, layoffs in the super universe.
I know,
that's
but...
completely unfair dismissal. I was watching that the whole time. If you don't tell me that you're Supergirl, by the end of the day you're fired.
You know what that's called? Extortion.
HR has got a case there.
Well, I think that she, in her mindset, believing that Kara is Supergirl at that time, it is kind of, she does have a sort of a point behind what Kat's saying. Like, Kat's saying, look, why the heck are you here? You're wasting, what is it, like 8 hours of your day where you could be saving, I don't know, a family across town that's just been in a car accident. Why are you wasting your time?
There's nothing worse than going to your work and they're like, why are you here?
Especially all they do is report the news and all there's like disasters on the news every 5 seconds and she just looks at it like, why aren't you there?
Mm.
Nah, look at that there. What's going on? Plane crash? You're not there. Oil spill? You're not there.
What are you doing, Kara? Letting the team down.
The sentiment was right. She was really nice about it in what she was saying, but yeah, she didn't go about the role. I don't think she consulted HR before she
pushed that out. No, well, I think HR must hate or love. I don't know if they like workloads, because working with Cat Grant, they must have so much stuff just to go through to
harassment lawsuits.
Yeah, I feel like she's a very mean boss. Like, from what I've established, like she literally takes no crap.
Like, remember when she told, like, Kara to move the ringer that was sitting outside her office?
Because
he was distracting?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Is this in the same episode, or is this really far away?
This was a few episodes ago. You might not have reached it yet,
I'm looking forward to the ringer watching.
Yeah!
Not a movie.
Not only is the HR weird at Catco, but at the DEO, they seem to have, like, a raffle for who's going to become the boss. Like... Henshaw gets captured and they put up on like the roulette wheel and spin it and then it comes up to her name and it's like, oh, you're the boss today. Not like you've had training for it and you're ready for it.
But maybe that's the thing. Look, imagine how many better jobs we'd have if there was like, because the interview process can be biased, but there's nothing biased about a spinning wheel.
And forget what your skill set is, just spinning wheel.
Yep.
It's like, well, this arts degree is finally useful.
Janitor's got the fingers crossed, like, oh, my day!
I get to be CEO!
Terrestrial's not scrubbing toilets today!
But it was really cool when Kara actually did get to, quote, prove that she wasn't Supergirl. Like, to have herself and... Oh, spoilers,
yeah, well, I didn't
Ryan,
know what was
sorry.
Happening there. Until he changed at the end, until Henshaw, who was Martian Manhunter,
oh, thank you, Ram, like, cool.
Turned back into,
did they do the switcheroo? Did he pretend to be...
Yeah, Supergirl came in and said, hey, you're pretty normal looking and not me, Kara. And like, yeah, thanks,
Supergirl.
Oh, hi, Kara,
I'm a big fan of your look. She's like, oh, thank you. Yeah. And then
that's actually literally what they say.
They made out a little bit.
Hey, Kara, I like your glasses. Yeah, I like your uniform. That's like pretty much what they said. That was
interaction.
And like you two standing right next to each other, looking identical, doesn't put doubts in my mind anymore. Thank you.
No, because one has glasses. We know this. We know this in Superman world.
She could ask them to swap glasses.
Well, this is interesting though, because you do actually their stance is actually different. Like, Melissa Benoist, the actress, has actually. She's holding herself differently in the two different...
Well, this is something that I discussed when we reviewed episode one, like, a bajillion years ago, where, you know, like, there's the definite persona between the two.
Mm.
I'll tell you what, Ryan, I'm wearing glasses right now.
Yeah.
So watch this. I am going to slouch wearing glasses.
Okay.
Right? Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
All right, close your eyes.
Okay.
Look at me now. Where did I go? I'm sitting upright and not wearing glasses.
See, I'm really, Brittany. You don't. You're not here, so you don't see that. You can't understand.
No,
this.
I can hear the difference in the voice. You see the tonality. They're
confidence when I'm sitting up straight is incredible.
Brittany, I don't mean to alarm you, but I think there's an intruder in my house. It sounds like Dylan, but he's not. Oh, he's got glasses on. Okay.
Oh, where did he? Oh, he's gone.
I think Dylan threw him out.
Everyone, calm down.
Wait, housemate, he threw him out. That's lovely.
Yeah. Didn't even get up either.
Well,
like you have the super strength.
I still have super speed, but that was him. I'm just normal.
One thing I did notice, though, about blood bonds, you know, that was mentioned throughout and a whole lot of exposition.
Blood.
I didn't think I was even singing the right song there.
No, it was like,
General Astra, again, she is just the, like, if you need someone to explain something, she's just, like, walking around with a bowl of exposition, like, hey guys, this is A, B, and C. There you are.
I think I've seen her in other movies.
Yeah.
And he had exposition.
She's just walking into random movies, like, here you go, here's a bit of exposition for that little story.
I liked when they had that flashback to Krypton, though. That was cool, and it looked really good.
Do they do that often?
And it,
every now and then. It's not, it's
just like Arrow.
Times?
Yeah, Arrow's flashbacks are frustrating, but it's like, it's enough that it's cool. Like, you like visiting Krypton and stuff.
And there were more lens flares there than a J.J. Abrams movie.
Oh, sick.
Well, it's a different
but it was cool that on Krypton they had...
Yeah, so did what else happen? Did anything else happen in this episode that I missed?
Actually, this is the struggle with Supergirl that I've had. Sometimes I have to watch it as if it's aimed for, like, young teenage girls, even, like, 10-year-olds and stuff. And then they throw in a torture scene where General Lane is injecting kryptonite into General Astra, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is not PG, this is kind of scary here.
Oh, well, hang on, is General Astra like the one that, like, her auntie or something?
Yeah, she was captured, and General Lane, Lois Lane's dad, is injecting her with kryptonite.
Whoa!
To get information out of her.
Wow.
And it was really dark.
It's all like, no, I love her because she's my auntie, but she's evil, but I love her!
And then Kara's, like, dying because it's in the kryptonite room.
Yeah, when they walked in, they're like, hang on, I wrote it down, but I've forgotten now. They're like, it's the lights, remember? The kryptonite lights are weakening. And you're like, yeah, thank you, I've been in this room before, and
exposition.
I've seen other episodes, I know what's going on, thank you, you don't need to...
Well, is that the room that, like, they try to, like, fight in episode 2?
Yeah,
they
do that something like that.
That's she's right. Like, I told you 10%. It's like, bam, I'm not as strong as you, I get it. It's pretty much that entire scene.
But, yeah, that was episode 9.
Oh, crap, that was only episode 9. Awesome.
That was okay.
Cousin Counter was...
Oh, yeah, sorry, go.
Mentioned cousin once. They said the word Kal-El. And they did reference leaping buildings in a single bound, truth, justice in the American way. And there was some Clark Kent SMS text chat action at the end.
Yeah,
hey,
again,
you ever need me?
Where he,
I'll be here in spirit, because I'm not coming here in person.
Again, they mention blood bonds.
Because I'm not here.
I'll always be here, but not really.
Then we have...
If you name me, just call, and
only call.
I will listen. Maybe.
Only call.
I might
call.
Put the phone
I'm
on the kitchen bench.
I'm only a phone away, literally.
I'm not even going to call, because I'll text. Could
be
anyone.
Go say hi.
Metropolis and whatever city she lives in, like, is that like an STD call? Like, is that going to be a long distance? Have they discussed the
locale?
They
Skype for free, man.
They'd probably just shout and they'd hear it.
Yeah, it's true, with her sweet hearing.
Yeah.
Like, if she can hear what's-her-name coming up the elevator being mad about, like, someone's deodorant, I'm pretty sure she's can hear her cousin. What happened to episode 10?
Episode 10 was pretty epic. Like, this is probably my favorite episode. Dylan, do you have a synopsis of what happened?
I certainly do, don't I? Let's have a look-see.
Oh, wow, it really does.
So, in episode 10, Childish Things, Wynn's world is turned upside down when he finds out that his father, the Toy Man, has escaped from prison. Despite the authorities already hunting him down, Supergirl steps in to make sure Wynn's dad isn't shot dead. But does Wynn even want his dad alive after all his crimes? Continuing from the previous episode's final scene, Hank Henshaw makes his way into Lord Tech's secret levels. Meanwhile, Cat Grant offers Lucy Lane a job.
Ooh!
And that's what happened in episode 10. So it started out strong. Martian Manhunter and Supergirl flying side by side.
Saw that
picture. Was epic.
Picture made
that
me pretty excited.
That was epic.
I love that.
So yeah. I like how it's gone from someone almost losing their job to someone getting a job. Like, that's a good circle of life. Or circle of employment, I guess.
I do like it. And what I also liked was the Toy Man. He was pretty cool.
He was amazing. I loved that he didn't have to be loud in anything like that. His, like, harsh whisper, I guess, was creepy enough.
Yeah,
like, how the heck did they make a yo-yo terrifying?
Yeah, with the blades on it. That was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
I liked the way that he lost his job and they stole his idea. And he kind of snapped. But to the level of where he's just killing everybody, that kind of took a jump to me. I couldn't take that logic.
Well, you can imagine that if he was...
A bit like a death yo-yo you're cool with.
As Wynn says, like, his dad was a coward. Because you can imagine that this wasn't the only time he's been trodden upon and all that stuff. And we've seen instances in America where people are trodden upon and stuff, and they do snap, and they do, you know... do these crimes that reach the news, which are horrible. So it can happen.
Yeah, they're in a fictional world, so it happens to an extreme level.
Yeah.
Mm.
I did like all the over-the-top kind of old-school superhero kind of things, where he was in the toy stores and the big boxes and all the little dolls, like that kind of over-the-top supervillain kind of style. That
and
was
the,
cool.
Like, the clapping monkey Supergirl?
Oh, yeah.
That
creepy.
Was kind of creepy.
I liked when they did confront him multiple times. They were in the his toy room or whatever it was, and Wynn was talking to his father. And he's like, "Why did you bring them here?" And they bust in the SWAT team, and they tell him to stand down, just stand down. One warning, and he doesn't. So then they shout, "Suspect not cooperating, weapons free," which means...
That means shoot to kill.
Yeah, that just means go nuts on someone who's just standing there minding their own business.
That, like, literally means deadly force.
And then they just open fire on him. Like, that seemed pretty full on, that they wouldn't even give him a warning to be like, okay, please, second time around, turn around.
Where's the HR department right there?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you could think of it, though, as there's a serial killer right in front of you, and he has many tricks up his sleeves.
We have seen his yo-yo.
He is very gassy.
Yeah, he has a yo-yo.
I told him they went out years ago, so he's dangerous.
Did you guys notice on Maxwell Lord's phone where when Alex called, the name Mata Hari came up?
Ooh.
So it's actually historical, so it's nothing to do with DC, but it's a historical figure from World War I, I think. There's like a better description of this at the bottom of my review on Novastream.com. Where she was like a cool girl.
Don't forget that .au. I was listening to somewhere.
Oh, novastream.com.au. Because Australia. Yeah.
Australia.
Yes, she was like a cool girl in World War I in France. And
did you say a cool girl or
cool,
a cool...
Cool girl. So, she
so he's, got, girl. He's got the... dead people from World War II on his speed dial. Like time travel
videos. Oh, wow. Talk to a Rip Hunter and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she was accused of, actually, in France, accused of stealing secrets and giving them to the German, to Germany, and she was killed by a firing squad. So you can see how...
The symbology.
Metaphor.
Symbology. How, like, Maxwell Lord sees Alex, that he sees that she's trying to, I don't know, win him over and stuff, but it's really just to earn information for her agency.
Well, he literally saw that with his secret handbag camera.
Oh, my goodness. She's an agent. How did she let that happen? I mean...
They've got, like... I mean...
They'd have to make a whole new bag.
Surely they've got some kind of, like, at the DEO bug-waving device when you come in on the morning through security. And Supergirl's probably got, like, super hearing. Doesn't it make some kind of noise?
Like a
whiz. So he sounds like a handbag camera.
Yeah.
I've heard one of them before. Yeah,
did you like that Martian Manhunter got to use his phasing? We can do it now. Now that before, when he punched into that bomb to defuse it, and then a couple of episodes later, they're like, let's make him Martian Manhunter. And so they can retcon that, oh, no, he can phase through things now. He just chose not to last time.
Mm.
That was cool.
Just for pure convenience, I'm sure.
And his mind wipes and the repercussions of that, by mind wiping the security guy that found him, the guy couldn't remember his kids, he couldn't remember his family. It was like a big impactful thing for Jean-Jean to do.
It's not as controlled as the comic books have it, where he can just wipe out like a certain little bit of time. And in Supergirl, it seems like he has no control, that it's just gone.
So as a quick comparison, because I've not hit the Martian Manhunter yet, so we've now had a couple episodes with him. How's he doing comparatively, like to the comics? Are they giving him a bit of justice? Pun intended.
Really, this is his only second proper appearance.
Oh, what? I thought he's been like every episode from here on.
Oh, he's there, but he's never Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
Like, I don't talk about that, or I don't want to do that. I'm a human now. Back off. Kind of thing. Would that be right, Brit?
His theory, which I don't really understand, is that the more he uses his alien powers, the less he can pretend to be a human. But the thing is, being able to morph into a human is a part of being the alien that he is. So why would that...
Maybe that's the big twist, that like in, you know, later on they have this one moment and there'll be nice piano music and he's like, you've been an alien all along. He's like, I have. And then he becomes one with himself, and then he realizes that you can all release the inner alien in you. And it's a very big, touching moment between him and Kara.
He's got to learn to love himself and embrace himself, not Henschel. That's his art.
I think we've just worked out the story arc for Jean-Jean. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, well, that was... Honestly, I feel that if Supergirl keeps up how good episode 10 was, we'll have a really good run for episodes. I think they really hit a really nice like mood, I guess, in this episode.
Speaking of running.
Yes.
Oh, the Flash. Yeah.
The Flash. How fast did that come to you, Ryan?
Like, you have to go he's looking at me, I'm like, you have to go to the toilet, you have to run to the toilet, like right away, like you could leave.
Do you want another picnic bar?
I got a
that
boost,
are you eyeing off the chocolates? Like what's going on?
Yeah, all that's left is like a Moro, which is apparently like the New Zealand. It's an old box of favourites, essentially, which is apparently the New Zealand Mars bar and a Crunchy that tastes like crap in the middle.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Crunchies.
Oh, I am when they're not crap in the middle. But yeah, Flash.
Flash. So, Ryan, do you have a synopsis for us?
I do, one that Brittany prepared earlier. Cisco has a new idea to slow Zoom down. Cisco tells the team about a meta-human who he's named the Turtle, who has the ability to stop the kinetic energy around him and thus slow everyone to a halt. My phone won't do that. That's annoying. After Barry fails to stop the Turtle at a diamond unveiling, the team... sets a trap at a local art exhibit. Barry invites Patty with the intention of telling her his secret, but the Turtle is aware of the trap and almost succeeds in killing Patty before escaping. Later, the Turtle kidnaps Patty in an effort to punish the Flash. The team tracks down the Turtle, and Barry is able to generate enough speed to move through the kinetic waves the Turtle creates to knock him unconscious and save Patty. Later, Patty tells Barry that she's leaving Central City and Dr. Wells kills the Turtle while extracting a portion of his brain through his nose hole. Meanwhile, Joe struggles to develop a relationship with Wally, who has been street racing in an attempt to go really fast, in case you weren't aware, and to earn enough money to pay for his mother's medical bills.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
And a couple of additions from Benson, because I'm pretty sure they didn't use the word nose hole in the Wikipedia article.
No, but it's quite descriptive. I like it. It's better than nostril.
Yeah, that was the first thing I noticed. Like, well, apart from watching the first episode, first scene of the movie, is when they got Wally West driving fast. I'm like, oh, I get it. Okay, so what are you trying to do?
Well, he wasn't just fast; he was furious as well.
He was really mad when he saw like the only other black dude there, and he's like, "God damn, this could be my dad." And then you know, old Papa West had his beanie on. Like, you know, he means street business.
Yeah, he's undercover.
Yeah, that's his streets clothes. And he's like, oh, he ain't the law here now. So what are you going to do, arrest me? He's like, yeah, I'm a cop, dickhead. Like, that's the best. Like, that's what's never fascinated me. He's like, what are you going to do? Like, you're not my dad. He's like, yeah, but I am the law. And like,
he is the law.
Like, I am Papa like, Joe. You know, it has always that story of like, I'm the law in this house. I'm literally the law in this house and the streets. You're going to prison.
Oh, it was really cool. I don't understand though why Wally approaches the West family and then is like, no, I don't want to borrow you.
He thought there was going to be free food. It wasn't, and he's like, I'm going home.
He's like, look, just wanted food. Like, where's the Kung Pao chicken at?
Yeah. No, he didn't like Kung Pao chicken. It was another
Maybe he came to... No, he likes Kung Pao. He hates Chow Mein. Maybe he went to the property. Maybe he went to Scope and, like, nicked some shit. He's like, look, I need money for my mom. These people don't have money. I'm out.
Do they like cars? Do they have pictures of Holdens on their walls? No.
No, I'm not... Yeah, no.
Not cool.
But it's with this Patty... What do you guys think of this Patty thing? Should... look, the tough part is we knew that at some point Patty has to leave. We know this because how else do you get Iris Allen West with Patty still around? So.
Many, many, many seasons later.
I kind of hoped Patty would stay longer. But if she's gone now, I think it would be amazing to see her crop up in other shows because she's such a good character. She's so different. She's not the woe-is-me female character. She's not the...
What do you mean
amazing,
she's not the woe-is-me? The entire woe-is-me of, like, you, like... you know, you're doing other things, and Barry's like, oh, if I want to turn on the Flash, and she's like, you know what, I'm just gonna leave you and this town, rather than just like, look, man, we should probably take a break, let's not see each other. She's like, no, I'm straight up leaving the city.
She was a really cool girlfriend.
In all honesty, if I didn't know that someone was the Flash, but they kept ditching me, and pretty much were only around to sleep with me and make out, I'd probably be like, you know what, I'm gonna just stop this right here.
See, but to me, that also sounds like an incredible relationship.
And have nightmares around.
Not on her part. Yeah. She wants something
held by
further.
Strangers after
nightmares. Granted, you know, if I was to wake up and I was like screaming, like, bah! You know, things happening, people falling off buildings, and then I look to my left and I see her, I'm like, all right. That's, oh, wait, she was my dream. Well, that's scary.
If yeah, I'm having crazy nightmares, I've got a lot going on, I'd imagine, and yeah. I want some sympathy.
And, like, see, but I could remember, like, when we first started watching this, I couldn't remember whether she already knew or not. It was very interesting. I was like, wait, did she know? Because, like, the discussion they were having was very implied that she already knew, and then it was like, well, no, she doesn't know, because spoilers. And mind you, when the Flash saves her from the chair of the turtle chair... And she hugs his torso. I'm pretty sure she's hugged Barry's torso before. Like, didn't she realize? She's like, wow, you're about as thin as Barry, or you sound like Barry, or you smell like Barry at this close.
But it might be even inconceivable that someone that close to you could be someone that's just amazing as a hero.
That's true. There are hours that I'm unaware of what Millie's doing, so...
She might be the hero that Melbourne deserves. Or Geelong, or wherever you are.
G-Town.
G-Town.
G-Troit, Rock City.
So, yep she's the hero.
I'll tell you what I liked, rather than ask you. I liked that the turtle guy was wearing, like, this hoodie that kind of had a turtle texture to it. It was subtle, and it kind of looked like a turtle.
What I really love, though, because I never watched the show. I watched the first season, but imagine if they pulled Turtle from Entourage. Like, wouldn't that just be the ultimate cameo?
That would have been great, yeah.
Like, no, like, it would just be spectacular.
It's not like he's doing much.
No, because he didn't do much in the show either.
Oh.
The turtle character, I have no idea. The actor's doing it in real life. He was just around and hung out and smoked weed.
Cowbunga.
what else happened in the show?
Jay Garrick was kind of hanging around like a bad smell still.
Yeah, and he's like, he's not doing anything, but apparently he's got like some sweet cancer now because yeah. Oh, might I add, you do should not, never, never, as a scientist, you shall never drink champagne out of beakers. That is incredibly bad lab practice. And then under no circumstances should you either A, consume food or drink in the lab area, or two, eat directly from your lab equipment.
Especially when you're both scientists. Not like once, yeah. Like, oh, I won't tell him because it's romantic. No, you're both scientists. You should
but
know
you're
better.
Both idiots.
Well, one's dying, so one probably doesn't care.
Yeah, but the other one
should know better.
Like, doesn't Caitlin realize she has a type now? Dead people?
Ouch.
She can smell it.
She's like one of those dogs around hospitals just smelling out future dead people.
Dead people tend to be very cold.
Hey!
Holla!
Did
anyone get like a doll maker vibe when the turtle is about to put some solution in Patty's veins?
I got a little bit of like, will he type faster on that typewriter, goddammit? Like that, that, like, see, there's a lot of the show that I love, but there's always the little things that annoy the piss out of me. And it was his typewriter typing that was just horrifying.
Well, maybe he just can't spell. You know, he got up and said, I hope I spelt your name right. So imagine him sitting there the whole evening, like, how do you spell Patty? And she's just not saying it. It's like, damn it, fine. P-A-T-T-Y.
That's true.
Is that it?
But he also had it to a chair, and I'm pretty sure she had identification on it. He could have just been like, can I borrow your wallet? She's like, it's my money. He's like, that's not your ID.
No, he kidnapped her from home. Why would you carry your wallet on you when you're at home?
Well, then how... then if okay, so then it's not as if she left it in her office desk. It was he was in her house, goddammit. There was, like, bills there.
He's like, hang on, where's your wallet? I gotta get your wallet. I might need to spell your name later, but don't ask me why.
It's a secret, dammit.
So, no spoilers. I like to keep my things neat and tidy. Wait, dammit. Okay, it could be spoilers. My wife's dead and hidden in a container.
Which you will be like.
That it was the second time Patty's... I don't know. It feels like a lot longer than it's been, but Patty's been in, what, 10 episodes? 8 episodes, maybe? And it's the second
most
time
the
already,
season,
yeah, that she's been tied to a chair and kidnapped. Like, it's just a bit of a stereotype for women that she's literally
but,
the damsel in distress.
But at this point, no one has ever tried to steal Iris. That makes me sad. Because
he
wouldn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't, like, if she was to be kidnapped tomorrow, tied to a chair, and her name misspelt on a sticker, Barry wouldn't care.
12 episodes had passed, and they'd be like, the season finale's like,
where's Iris?
And the season finale, like, cause, you know, like, the last 5 minutes, like, this big epic battle, and they're like, oh shit, Iris.
Zoom probably will come in, like, pick her up, take her away. It's like, I have got the one you love, Barry.
I thought she was going to be one of the legends of tomorrow.
Spectacular. He's like, no, you've got Patty. He's like, not Patty.
No. The
oh
other
god,
one.
Stole,
the other one.
Papa West? No. No. Oh my god, Cisco. Like, no.
You've got Caitlin? No! Dude, you gotta be kidding
me. God, it better not. Did you. Wait, what?
Going through every single one.
Yeah, like,
you stole Oliver Queen?
Did you steal Moira?
The salmon bars!
Like, who does that leave?
Wait. It's like, I see what you did, Iris.
It's like, you see with it. Took my eyes? Barry, you're not that fast, my friend.
I didn't see that coming. let's, that was an okay episode. I think it probably wasn't the Flash's best.
I forget what the big punch of it was, because I was making fun of it.
It was a bit slow, pun intended.
Why?
Oh, well, because I'm done talking crap about it. You actually talk, like, properly about it for a second.
Well, I was disappointed that Rip Hunter didn't come and collect Iris for his Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I think she would have been, and imagine her blogging through time and space.
I think the funniest thing about that is that Rip Hunter takes people from this timeline who have absolutely no effect on the timeline throughout history.
Yeah, but that's the best thing. You know, spoilers, we'll get there in a sec. That's the best thing about it. He could literally do whatever he wants. He's the yippee-ki-yay of, like...
Yippee-ki-yay.
It's a yippee-ki-yay. We're going to do whatever the hell we want.
Stole the time machine.
Still along the lines of Turtles, shall we continue to Suicide Squad?
That was spectacular. Well done.
Thank you. And Suicide Squad was spectacular. Bam! Like, it's just the more I watch it, the better.
Straight
it gets.
Look, I watched it 4 times at work, 2 separate breaks. So my first break was like, hey, the Suicide Squad tries. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And I'm sitting at my desk. I look at the screen and I had this ginormous grin on my face. And then I have this feeling that I might pee my pants. And then my eye, like, see, this is how I know I'm getting old and stupid, is because, like, my eyes well up at the most dumbest crap. So I'm watching this trailer, and, like, mind you, a lot of these characters I don't really have an emotional connection to.
El Diablo.
Like, you know, especially, like, the Slipknot guy. He doesn't even get addressed in that Dawn of the Justice League. They just forget that he exists.
They don't even say what he does, do they?
No, apparently he punches a dude as well, like, straight after Jai Courtney does, and that's about all we see. Like, I don't have any... like, apart from this sort of joke...
He's
so
gonna die.
I don't really have... Yeah, he's so dead. I don't have any attachments. I was curious as to why I got so emotionally invested in the trailer. But,
He's the guy whose head explodes first for Amanda Waller to show how serious she is.
Oh,
yeah, I reckon.
Probably.
But I
loved it. I think it's great. It's straight off the bat. It's got that real Guardians of the Galaxy feel to it.
But darker.
That powerful song from like years back that gets you all in the nostalgies.
But the lyrics just fit it so amazing. Like,
it's
all about, like, let him go and stuff. And it's like, well, no, okay, hell no, they're not getting let go. I mean, like, they're either going to be blown up or they're going to go back to prison.
Nothing better than a trailer that that focuses on a song and then use it, and, like, they edit that video to match the song.
Heavily, though. Like, every gun click, every...
And can opening.
Explosion. Yeah.
I have to say, though, one thing that just blew my mind. Before I looked at the Easter eggs and stuff, I paused it right on Katana unsheathing her sword. The smoke that's coming off her blade is in the shape of skulls. Like, that just fits the comic book.
Well, it's amazing. Yeah, they discussed that in the Dawn of the Justice League. You know, Geoff Johns is like, it traps the soul of her enemy. So anyone that she stabs in the face, their face is in that sword now.
And it includes her husband. Like, she can communicate with any of these souls that she's taken.
I just had another... Remember, this trailer is essentially the Guardians of the Galaxy for the DC, because remember in the trailer, the original one, where they're like, this is Star-Lord, and like, they step by step, and in this trailer, they're like, he eats people, he burns people, he shoots people. Like, it's straight up Guardians.
Mm, what a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah.
Really, I feel like it's just... It's darker, but it has that...
Oh, no, but as in, like, it hits nice a lot of hint. Beats that the Guardians did in its trailer, and I think that'll work in its favour.
Mm. But another graphic thing along the lines of smoke and stuff. How cool is the Enchantress? How it's just smoke and, like, ash just flicking up off her skin.
But at the same time, what's very fascinating is, you know, because when he's... When, what's his name? Steve... Not Steve Tyler, that's the singer of Aerosmith. The one that's listing all the names, Steve Trevor.
It's not him. Steve Trevor is Wonder Woman's mistress. I know who you're talking about, though.
Rick Flag. So Rick Flag's listing all the dudes, and then he's like, well, you're possessed by a witch. So, and she's, you cut back, you see him looking over his shoulder, like patting his head or hair brushing him. Mm-hmm. So, like, can she control this, or is it just come and go, or as the Enchantress? But she does look sweet, though.
It looks amazing.
We do.
Do you have a favourite part, Dylan? Just something that stood out for you?
I had a part that Ryan's going to disagree with.
Okay.
The part that I did like was when Harley Quinn was talking and she was kind of like, oh, the voices are saying to kill everybody. And, just kidding.
That took me out of it. Like, that moment took me out of the trailer. I don't know why, because it felt super scripted. It felt her trying to be Harley. But when there's that scene where they're standing in the street... Yeah. Everyone's like got shock face, and she's like,
"Wow,
that Harley Quinn!" Like, that moment encapsulated. Like, I was sketchy when you went with that scene. I was like, "Oh god damn, if they're gonna try really hard, it's gonna be annoying." But that, like, that follow up scene completely made up for it for me.
And it's good that they've decided not to go along the lines of the really, I guess it's a Jersey accent,
it's a Queens, New York accent.
Yeah, like they've taken that away, and just.
As we know with Arkham, Assault on Arkham, after like the 2 hours, it kind of hurts your ears a little bit.
But I hope with Harley, I hope they don't forget that she's actually really intelligent. I hope they put that in somewhere. Like, she was a doctor, she was a psychiatrist.
But they're not implying that she's dumb either.
Like,
in this trailer alone, you can see the two sides of her. You can see her when she's being just brutal and shooting dudes, and you can also see where she's having fun.
But this is the reason. Like, I sort of agree with you, Ryan, in thinking that her saying the voices in my head are telling me to do this, that it took me out of it. But I also agree with Dylan in that it was really cool, because I feel like at that moment she wants everyone to think she's insane, and at any moment she can just go nuts and kill them. I feel like it's more a calculated thing to say.
Yeah, she's just messing with people.
But one of the standout scenes, though, is obviously when we see Jared Leto and he does that incredible swan dive into what looks like the Bats of Acid, and then you see him with Harley giving her the baptism by acid. I'm like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. So good. So goddamn good.
As we were discussing before, I think Jai Courtney is going to be great. I hope that they just Australian the crap out of him. So over the top, so ocker, so ridiculous.
Well, they started like, you want to let me out of here, love?
Yeah, that idea of what America thinks Australians are times 100.
Have you read any comics with Captain Boomerang in it?
I have. He's got some good quotes.
They write it as if he's super Australian.
Yeah, they do.
I don't even understand half the thing he's saying. Like, I just recently, for Christmas, I got the Suicide Squad number 23, where Oracle is first mentioned. and he's just speaking to a bunch of people in the Sydney Harbour, saying, "Oh, mates, you're gonna buy me a drink down the pub," and some other Aussie lingo. I'm like, "What the hell is he even saying?" And like, somebody ends up saying, "Yeah, there's a theory going around that he isn't even Australian. He's just using it to have this facade."
See, what I love, though, is there's another book I called Identity Crisis by Brad Meltzer, and he's one of the villains in the book, and he is just, like, he's just, everyone's aware that Captain Boomerang is a piece of shit, and he's addressed it. He's like, "Look, I really thought my gimmick was really cool." He's bald, he's, like, all receding, he's full of shame, he's fat. It's incredible. Like, the book itself is incredible, but just having a look at Boomerang being absolute crap is amazing. But I think they're going to give him a nice edge in this, because he was featured heavily in this trailer. Heavily.
He had a pretty big role in the other one, too.
Will Smith was barely in it. What's the speculation on Godzilla? We were discussing Godzilla.
Oh, yeah, who's the big bad of this?
Yeah, Doomsday? Ninja Turtles? Well, there's four Ninja Turtles, so one is in Batman vs. Superman.
I don't think it's Godzilla. I do think, though, it might be that three-headed bird thing that's in it. Like, Godzilla ends up fighting, like, it's a giant dragon with three heads.
Like Cerberus? Oh, no. Hydra.
No, it's not Hydra.
Hydra is a creature with many heads. You can't want... Yeah, obviously, Marvel.
Yeah, but, I think it might be Mega Shark.
Mega Shark? Shark Tornado!
Or Crocosaurus, like one of those movies.
Did you see that when they were in the subway scene, there was like this Groot tentacle kind of thing?
Yeah, Evil Groot.
But then there was another part, I'm pretty sure it was Enchantress, and a train was coming towards her, and she separated the train into pieces just with like her mind. That was pretty epic.
When we watched Dawn of Justice League, they sort of hinted, Jeff, Kevin Smith tries to get some information about Jeff Johns. He's like, "I can't tell you much, but Jared Leto isn't part of the Suicide Squad. He's in the movie, but he's not part of it," which implies that he's one of the big bads. But I have a feeling that Enchantress may in fact be the big bad.
Hello. Yep.
What?
Go back about a few episodes. I said Enchantress, and you all were just like, "Nah, it's the Joker. Shut up, Brittany. You're wrong."
I want to hear a soundbite edited in. Flashback.
I will find it. This is like my golden moment.
DC Domination, Season 1, Episode 17.
I don't remember ever seeing Enchantress with the group, so I'm wondering what if she's the villain, or what if she's the one they're trying to.
I think Joker's the one they're trying to stop.
Joker would. From what I can see, the Joker is the overall villain for this.
I think it's going to be Titan Joker.
Oh my
Arkham.
God.
He's going to be like Godzilla.
Oh, please, no.
So it's both.
Sweet.
Titan Joker.
I'm really cool with Titan Joker, so I'd be cool with it.
Well, Suicide Squad. Anything else?
I have a lot of interest in this movie. There was never a chance that I wasn't going to watch this movie, but this really pushes it in a good way for me.
I really want to see it now. Before it was just like, "Yeah, it's a DC film, I'll go and see it because it's DC," but now I'm like, "Hell yeah, get me 100%. In that cinema in a red seat watching the screen." I'll probably try
midnight screen it if I can, because reasons.
Because that's what you want to do.
That's where my life's at these days.
Well, apart from the Suicide Squad coming out and just blowing everyone's mind, one thing that we were all really excited for was The Legends of Tomorrow. No, who's seen the pilot?
We've all seen it. Dylan and I watched it again on the lovely couch that we're sitting at.
All snuggled up and just like...
We've got different opinions.
Oh, alrighty.
Yeah.
Well, I read the last one, so... Dylan, do you want to read the synopsis for this one? Yes, clear the throat.
DC's Legends of Tomorrow!
In the year 2166, is that how you say it? 2166.
That sounds good.
2166. Vandal Savage.
Can you do it in that cool, like, old-timey radio voice?
In the year 2166, Vandal Savage has successfully conquered the entire planet. In an effort to save humanity, time travel, Rip Hunter travels back to the year 2016. Is that how you say it? 2016 to organize a group of superheroes and supervillains to team up and stop Savage. Ray Palmer, Sarah Lance, Jefferson Jackson, and Dr. Martin Stein, Mick Rory, Leonard Snart, Carter Hall, and Kendra Saunders. With everyone assembled, Rip takes the team to 1975 to talk to Professor Portman, a leading expert on Vandal Savage, to get assistance in locating Savage. While providing information on Vandal, Boardman also reveals that he is the son of Kendra Carter from one of their past lives. A time-traveling bounty hunter named Kronos attacks Rip's ship. The team is able to regroup and escape, but not before Professor Boardman is wounded and dies. The attack forces Rip to reveal that Kronos is after him for stealing the time machine against the wishes of the Time Council, and that part of his quest is based on revenge for Vandal murdering his wife and child in his time.
You just make me think of every episode of The Legend of Korra just then.
He had his hand to his ear like he was...
You
like
have to put the hand there, it doesn't work, see, it's just normal voice, and then it comes back again.
It was like, and the pausing and the emphasis, and he dies!
Time traveler!
It happens.
Yes, that was...
Brittany, what do you think of this?
I actually really liked it. I thought... I immediately picked at the start when Kronos appeared. I'm just like, you know what, he's probably working for the Time Lords. And
it's that nobody actually tried to kill him.
Yeah, we're just like, that's my one of my gripes with this. They're like, it's a dude with a gun, and there's seven straight up superheroes. One dude with a gun, seven superheroes. None of them can seem to hit him. Old man Stein runs across a field. This guy can apparently shoot everything. Doesn't hit an old dude wandering across a field.
Like, yeah.
You could have straight up murdered that dude and taken out one half of Firestorm. Instead, you're gonna miss everything and then not take a hit yourself. So
now that wasn't the biggest pet peeve that I had. Before I started watching this, I'm thinking, why the heck do they have Carter Hall and Kendra Saunders in this team? Because when you think about it, the chances of them bumping into themselves are so huge, or the chances of Carter Hall, the past Carter Hall, trying to search for past Kendra Saunders and ending up finding future Kendra Saunders is just... It just confuses everything in their own timelines, because
is past and future Carter Hall still a dickhole? Like, I hate this guy. Yeah.
But
he beats his wife. He says, "Join me." I can't even remember what they were fighting about, but they were fighting.
Yeah, he was like, "She's like, I don't want to. Like, I'm gonna pack my bags and leave you." And he's like, "I dare you to fight me."
Yeah,
and
I'm gonna beat you down. Well, like, I'm gonna beat you back. Let's do it.
And then their wings came out, and I was like, "All right, sweet."
So just like if that was a hotel room, imagine the people coming in and being like,
"Imagine that call.
What did you do?
Imagine that call with like the police. Like, my neighbors are fighting, and I think they've got an eagle in there."
It's like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It was just like, something's going on in the neighbor's house, and I have no idea what it is.
Like, all I'm hearing is bird noises and punching.
Pretty sure I saw a feather go out the window. I'm like, freaking out, man.
Are they having a pillow fight, or are they hurting some birds of prey?
Kind of pillow fight.
Dylan?
But, yeah.
They were fighting. What did you like about it, though, Brittany? We'll start with the good things, shall we?
I think it's amazing, like, so many TV shows are quite careful in the people who are injured, like, in games and stuff. If you notice in Batman, the thugs are always male, and you're always beating up on male and stuff. Male? You're beating up on male? The stupid postman dropping mail on my doorstep.
Good point. But, mail's really expensive now, should be Victorian Post. You can
stupid.
Suck it.
But they, like, Vandal Savage just straight up shoots a woman and then shoots a kid. It's like, no, we don't care.
That's
we're
a good
just...
point, though. Like, how can we prove that this guy's an absolute, like a straight up villain? Let him murder a woman and child.
Because that's it. TV TV tends to not show like women. Well, I mean, like.
Well, no. There's a very big line. It's like a TV show is more than willing to show show a bullet hitting a guy's head, but it will never show a bullet hitting a woman's head.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
always cut away to it, and this show did it too. There was no like showing her head kicking back or anything. It was just implied.
And it was a deleted scene where he kicked the dog afterwards.
He killed my dog!
Like, and that's what pissed him off. That's what pissed off Rip the most.
Every time he's in, at the end of the episode, he kicks the dog. And they're just like, oh, next time.
Oh, he's such a villain.
Why are there dogs in all these times?
Also, the fact that the reason why... Like, it's not because they're legends. That's nowhere near the reason why this group of people were chosen. Spoilers, sorry.
Because they are literally pointless.
They're literally pointless to the timeline. Rip is just like, if you guys die, it doesn't matter. Affect the timeline.
I love that. That literally makes them
it,
like...
It does. It makes
it was
sense.
Devastating as well. I was like, the whole time, like, really? These are the legends? He doesn't go to Flash, he doesn't go to Arrow... And then when he explains it, it was hard, especially for Ray Palmer, who just wants to be recognized as a hero and do the right
he's
thing.
He's already having an identity crisis, and then they're like, poop in his mouth.
Yeah, it was sad.
I feel like it should be called, like, Little People of Tomorrow, or Nobodies of Tomorrow.
No,
so,
no
like,
it's just...
Nobodies of Ever.
Yeah.
Nobodies just... Ever.
Never Ever.
And then, I imagine if the show was just called DC's People, it really wouldn't have had such a cool ring to it.
I still don't understand why Heatwave and Captain Cold are there, though.
I don't understand why there's two Heat people. We've got Firestorm, who launches fire. We've got Heatwave, who launches fire. Don't get me wrong, like, don't ever separate Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell again. I couldn't handle it. you know. But I guess they need someone. They need that overacting.
They do have some good lines. I think Heatwave had a lot of good stuff where he's like, hey, haircut. When he's talking to Ray Palmer, that was funny.
I like he like kind of resembles Drax.
Yeah, he does have that kind of mindless thing.
Which is cool.
I don't think they utilized 1975 enough.
No, not even a little bit.
They're probably like, gonna go back. Like I saw the trailer for the next episode, and I think they're going back.
Back to the '70s.
Yeah, back to the future.
Ooh.
Look, I'm sort of like see. There's a lot of things that I don't like about this show. I to me, it's very interesting. You know, with Arrow, it's very dark and brooding, and it never tries to be super comicky and fun, where The Flash is very serious. Sorry, very comicky and fun, and doesn't try to be dark, where this show is trying to straddle both, and that just makes the funniness come off as campy, and the drama seem too overdramatic. And that's my concern, is with finding the tone of this show. I love what they can do. The setting and the premise is really, really fascinating. The idea of being able to go at any time, any place, and have fun with it. And like, I think you have if they do take advantage of that time frame in future episodes, it could be a lot of fun. If they go to, you know, like the 1700s, and they rock up with these fire guns, these people that have never, you know, that are still like battling, you know, what's that? One of those things you die from in the 1700s. I know, like...
The plague or something?
Yeah, the plague. You know, there's like these people are battling scurvy, and he's like, I have a gun that shoots ice.
I just reckon, like, one of them's probably going to... If they go back to, like, Salem, and one of them gets kidnapped, it's like, he's a witch! He turned me into a newt!
The witch trials, that'd be sweet. Imagine if they go to caveman times for some reason, and they're all like, fire! And he's like, poof! This dude is literal fire.
I am your god!
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential in it, and it didn't hook me in the first episode. I will continue to watch it, obviously, because I have to. But it's finding its footing. I imagine I can't remember, but I imagine the first episode of Arrow, but the first episode of Flash was a little bit F2. So I imagine it'll pick itself up.
Mm. And kids, we do not support drugging people and carrying them on through a time machine.
No, that's highly frowned upon.
Never.
But I do support women going to bars and trying to dance and then punching people.
Yes!
Women are allowed to dance. Back away if they don't want you to.
Yeah, like, you know, women are free to dance. And then what I strongly disagree with is, throwing those glasses on the dance floor. You never take glass on the dance floor.
No, that's just such like a hazard.
That is code
it's
of
a
conduct.
Slip hazard.
It's a code of conduct at all nightclubs because those open toe shoes.
Mm-hmm.
No,
not good.
Big no no.
This is also look. This is a big hole in the idea of the Wave Rider, the nice TARDIS that Rip Hunter has.
Stole.
It does feel very Doctor Who-y. It feels like very early Doctor Who, as in like we're talking 2005, like when they tried to reboot it. It was they had to re-find its footing, and I think that's entirely what the show is. And having Arthur DeVille come back, except this time he's the Time Lord, and I think that's really kind of cool.
But the thing is, Gideon points out that Rip Hunter likes to work alone. Now all of a sudden he has 8 chairs there in his spaceship.
Did Gideon never ask what he was sitting there installing the chairs manually?
Remove those chairs. What did he have there? Did he have like a pool table or something? Imagine giving up your pool table for 8 people you don't even know. Like, I'd keep the pool table and take 2 people off.
Is Gideon the same Gideon in The Flash?
I think Gideon's like Siri.
Yeah, is it like Siri where you can just...
Yeah.
Or Katana, depending on your phone of choice.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'd say so. She's
disappointing.
I'm curious though about Gideon. Them,
I guess.
Like when's
characters? Yeah,
they couldn't afford the Flash. Mm. That was weird. That Stephen Amell was in it, but not
Grant
Gustin. Yeah, Grant Gustin.
Old Granty.
That was a bit weird. Nobody from Flash was in it really, except for the Captain Cold, of course, and Heat Wave. But yeah, it just seemed odd that they'd have Stephen Amell in it for that scene, and they also had the Lances together as well, the sisters.
That was kind of nice. Like, we're sisters, we fight each other now.
I guess they're setting it up for that episode that we saw a preview of future Queen Cave.
True.
You're like, you remember this guy? If you don't watch this show, that's Oliver Queen. He's the Arrow. It'll make sense in a few episodes from now.
Maybe it's like what they did with the Marvel Universe, where Iron Man rocked up in everything. Because this is Iron Man is what created the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Arrow is what created the DC TVU. That's what links them all together. He's the central point. He's the pillar.
It's just acknowledging its roots, and I think that's really cool.
True. Speaking of acknowledging its roots, though, do we talk about this week's Arrow?
We certainly should. Who are we up to? I think we're up to you, Ryan.
You, Ryan. Haha. P jokes. sorry, I've got too much.
Oh my goodness! I really just got that. Yeah, oh nice gosh.
I dealt with it my entire life. Arrow Episode 10, Blood Debts, takes the audience back into the tombstone with the title revealing there are 4 months until somebody dies, and Ollie's, quote, going to kill him. Cut to current day, and Felicity's undergoing emergency surgery. Oliver is cracking skulls, and Diggle is fighting his way back to loving his brother. Andy, with all ghost leads coming up empty on the dark front, Team Arrow turns their attention to a recent crime involving the disturbing Anarchy. Even after getting him in their custody, Oliver releases him and tracks him to where Dark is hiding. This leads to Green Arrow saving Dark's family and Dark offering him respite for his heroics. But we'll later probably try to kill him.
Yeah. I mean, like, we've just realized that Dark's wife, Mrs. Dark, has just been like, right here, you do that.
Is literally just as mental.
She's worse.
Like the final scene, and he's like, "Dude, like the vigilante saved us," and he's like, "Yeah, well," and she's like, "Can you murder him now?
Wipe them out."
I can just imagine this little girl though as well. She's probably going to be quite twisted.
Who's this?
Their daughter. Probably going to be twisted as well.
I was a daughter. I thought it was a son. So I remember there being a daughter in the house, but in the car it looked like a young boy, and I was like, that's a bit weird.
Gender fluid.
Yeah. This episode is interesting. I really kind of enjoy this guy playing Anarchy. I like the mask. That mask is incredibly haunting. And now he's all like scarred and shit, and he's just straight up angry. But he's also testing Thea.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
But for the amount of fire that attacked him, his burns are quite minimal.
Yeah, it's true.
And he's recovered pretty fast.
Yeah, see, no one's really, like, everyone likes the idea of someone blowing up in flames, but if you've actually seen someone that's blown up in flames, it's not very TV friendly.
No. Sad. Like Two-Face Batman is too far, like what we've had in Christopher Nolan's movies.
We're talking about the Dark Knight.
Yeah, that'd be way too far for TV. It would be too hard for them to accomplish anyway. But for him to have, his eyes aren't even melted shut, his nose is whole, his lips are luscious. Yeah,
they're really luscious.
But that mask is pretty cool.
It's perfect. It was so good.
They pulled. I forgot that Felicity was dead in the last episode. I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna be awesome.
I can remember she got shot. Like, I felt so bad seeing her in that bed. I'm like, goddamn, if I was Alpha Queen, I would be really happy. I'd probably look at myself in the mirror all the time. But I would be out there. I'd be defending my girl being in the beds.
Was that a dead arrow then? Was she supposed to be dead? And you think she's dead? And then she's in the grave. Like, they set all that up.
As I said, they were implying that she was going to die, and they essentially like. There's that conversation of like, look, she might not even walk again, blah, blah, blah. And then they cut to them standing in front of the grave, looking really sad. And then they go to a limo, and boom, there she is.
Alive.
Like, no wheelchair to be seen, might I add.
Maybe.
There's a boot in the car.
Yeah.
Which bums me out, because, like, my theory was that she was going to die. So I'm glad she's not dead, but also my theory's ruined. But at the same time, it solidifies our theory from last week, Brittany. Diggs is going down.
Yeah. Dylan. That was a theory that I came across on the internet, that people are thinking Diggle's gonna say goodbye.
Diggle?
Literally has the least to lose apart from family. And a kid.
Maybe.
And a brother. And the theory was last week, though, he weren't here, is that he will die at the hands of his brother.
Oh, well, you don't go around beating the crap out of your brother and then playing cards with him afterwards. And not get repercussions.
Right, but maybe Diggle's really like into cheating at Go Fish, so
that's probably what irked him the most, is like cheating at poker. Diggle.
You can't read in face when he's got that Dignito mask on.
Yeah, that mask. Yeah. Tough really, to read. Just the fans are going crazy against it, and they're like, "You're fired."
You told me to wear this. You said it looked cool. You producers suck. You're dead.
Yeah, I'm out of the comics as well. I just got introduced. Well, okay, Diggle, I don't know about that. I think they're going to kill somebody at the end of every episode and then be like, no, psych, we're back at the grave again and they're on the other side of the car. And
clown car.
Yeah, last, like, seven episodes, they're essentially nodding that it could have been anyone.
And then being like, no, it isn't. They're standing behind the camera there. Oh, there they are.
But then, like, at the end, we'll be like, who hasn't been killed yet?
They kind of just walk in, then the next car pulls up and it's them again.
There's a line of limos.
Force pulls up and Diggle's on it for some reason. Baby.
Well, they're dragging that out. And the other thing, as always, is the flashbacks.
Oh,
so we got to see how Oliver got his whipping.
Yeah. I do like that they are explaining all his beaten upness. Do you reckon they planned all this beaten upness? Like, he's got marks on his back. Maybe he was whipped once. Do you reckon they went that far ahead? Or it's like, crap, he has a really weird booby mark that's, explain why.
I'm just, the idea that they're filling in the blanks of where his scars came from, that's fantastic. But I'm just over the flashbacks. I mean, it takes me out of the story to the point it lessens what's happening. Like, I feel as if the flashbacks weren't there, Felicity's injuries would be so much more impacting. And they are already impacting. But if I didn't have to go back to see characters that I don't care about, that I can't tell you the names off the top of my head, I feel like the story would be so much better.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think there was, like, to me, there was enough impact with her death. I was very sad to see her in pain, and I don't like to see smoke down. I'm not a fan.
No. And how cold she was to Ollie when he got in the car. That hurt so much. It's like,
no. Which means something's close to her as well. So, like, maybe it's her mum. But then again...
Oh, what if her mum died?
It's Barry Care, though.
Yeah.
Barry's like, I don't even know who she is.
Barry's like, I think she hit on me once. She seems to do that a lot.
Oh, and Laurel found out that Captain Lance and Donna are dating.
Banging, yeah.
I love how she's just like, I don't want to know.
Oh my god, it's such a small world. She's like, it's microscopic. Like my dad's wiener, go away.
Shots fired. Ouch.
Yeah, shit. that discussion, though. It's like, I'll back again to Star Wars. Like, I'm always concerned that Star Wars is a little bit too incestuous. This is getting closer. Yeah.
Wow. Just apart from the flashbacks, the other thing that really just infuriated me. The flashback, what?
Crossover, what?
What? I can't even remember his name. Is it like Alex or something? The assistant and Thea. It's like,
Oh yeah. I forgot that was the thing.
Let's go on a date. Oh no, I can't be with you. Oh, I figured myself out all in one episode. It's like, no, Theo.
You know what always amazes me though is how many people drink wine in movies and TV. That's what amazed me more. Like, I don't know. If I walked up to someone's house and they had like two glasses of wine, I'm like, why the hell are we drinking wine?
Yeah, you alcoholics.
I love red wine.
No, me too. But bomb. Like, I don't know who, like, what, who's this a common beverage for?
Everyone.
Well, let's flash back to episode 10, the first time we reached double digits for DC Domination. We each had a glass of something. I think I had red wine.
I'm pretty sure I had multiple flavored liqueurs, and I'm got a little hammered.
Pretty sure it was cordial. Red cordial.
Did you lie?
Did you not drink the booze?
No, I think I said I was drinking red cordial. I think I said glass bottle of red, and you guys took it a different way.
Maybe.
A whole bottle of... Seriously, though, red cordial could have without the same water. Effects.
Oh, whoa.
Living dangerously.
That's like, that's a diabetes risk right there.
So, anything else that you guys can bring out for Arrow? Blood debts.
See, I still like you. Dylan and I were talking after the episode, and he's like, "No, it's still don't like it. It's Arrow. I'm still not a big fan." And that's a pretty good impression of him, actually.
That was exactly what I said.
And I'm like, "That's fine. I think Arrow still has his hooks in me a little bit. Yeah. I still love the character of Green Arrow enough to make it work for me."
Well, let's look at it then, because we're thinking Diggle might die, Captain Lance might die, or I can't remember what the other options were. But we do have a lot of female cast, which is amazing. But should we bring on another male sidekick? And if we did...
No, because there's enough dudes in television. Enough white dudes.
But there's just so many... Like, I love that there's so many women. But just say if. Who would you like to see?
I want Roy to come back.
You want Roy to come back? What about the Teen Titans?
I want him to come back with the Teen Titans.
To start that? Start a spin-off like that?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Can you think of anyone, Dylan, that you might like to see?
No, I want more women in the show. More women crossovers.
Cool if Nyssa comes back.
Women's of tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Ladies of today.
Whoa! I'm in for that. That sounds awesome. Birds of Prey would just fit that, really. Well, that's Arrow. That's Flash. That's Legends of Tomorrow. That's Supergirl. That's Suicide Squad. My butt's numb, so I think we should wrap this up. Thanks.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening in, guys. My name's Brittany. I've been your host today for DC Domination. With me is Dylan.
Hey.
And you can find more of him at...
I think he had so much more to say, and he's like, yeah, okay.
Not yet. Shut down.
The note said you'd say my name and then I'd do the thing.
I'd make a noise and you interrupted the noise.
Sorry, guys.
Yes, my name is Dylan, and you can also find me on the Marvelous podcast. This week we'll be talking about Deadpool, which is coming out on February 11th.
In the romance comedy, the rom-com.
Yeah,
yeah,
Valentine's Day special.
Comedy.
Take the kids with you. Take grandma.
Yeah.
Take everyone. You'll love it.
And with me as well is Ryan, where you can find him at...
I'm in multiple different places. I'm, apart from the DC Domination show, I also do Game Over Remastered, which is the Nova Stream video game show. I also do my own show through Nova Stream at The Pop Culturist, which is at least once a week. The day is always changing. Thank you, Internet. It's on Nova Stream YouTube page. We do our show once a week. It's awesome. We have fun. And Dylan's now our producer, so it's now an amalgamation of Nova Streamness. It's a big collaborative effort, and it's just getting better and better every week, so everyone should go jump on there and watch it.
I forgot that I'm also on DC Domination. I didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can listen to all of us again on DC Domination, so go back, listen to our podcasts, try and find the ones where we each had, like, a glass of wine or some crazy...
Yeah, and while you're at the YouTube page, check out Brittany's Who's Who in the DCU.
Ooh, so there's two videos up at the moment. And hopefully some more will come.
Any teasers?
Throw some ideas. Well, I'm happy to just have any ideas from anyone that you want to see. I'm just going to keep away from the mains.
Can you tell us who is in the Batman U?
This Batfellow.
Look, I am tempted to do Barbara Gordon, but I'm just, you know...
Maybe you could do an Enchantress one. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be fascinating.
I'd like to know more about her before the movie comes out.
I want to know more about Slipknot.
Slipknot? I'll probably get, like, what, a minute? Is there any footage I can even use?
Yeah, just like do it really badly and just use Slipknot video like concert.
Yeah. I just assume that's like what Slipknot sounds like. Anyway, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you again for listening. Just keep being awesome and may all your universes be good ones.
You're listening to DC Domination on the NovaStream Network, your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.